Do you have humility? Do you have the ability to accept comments from other people and not be touched? Do you have the ability to listen to your mother and not say, I know better than you do? You know, do you have the ability to listen to your father and say, I appreciate my dad. He's wise. Everything he says is beneficial to me. Everything he says is worthwhile to me. And then you can go and do your own thing, which you will do, but have your recognition. Now, who is the cook today? Who left the bread open without shoving the top down so that it stays nice and fresh inside? Do you have the humility to have me say that to you without disturbing you too much? Yes. And this is a wise thing to do, isn't it? Now, we do eat a lot of bread here, so the bread's not going to get stale and it's not going to get hard. But it's a habit. Always close it so that it will work good. Always close it so that it's a good habit, that it'll stay fresh. Now, do you have the humility to have me say that to you in front of this whole group and not be disturbed? Do you think that others might also hear it and benefit from what's said, if it is anything to be benefited from? Yeah. Humility is the ability to take a comment, even in a crowd, and not be distressed by it. Now, in a crowd, a man might say to another man, you know, like this, and the other man says, you don't know what I'm talking about? Like this.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. You don't know what I'm talking about, see? And the other man should know.
Yeah.
Pull up your zipper, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's no big deal, you know. He's not going to have traffic or anything there. But it's just a proper thing to do. And so then the guy says, what do you say? Well, you know, well, what do you want? Pull up your zipper! Oh! Oh! And then, of course, everybody looks, oh, how interesting, you know? And no big deal, you know, nothing showing or anything like that, but pull up your zipper. And do you have the humility to accept a remark like that, or not a remark, but a gesture, and respond to it without being irritated? Oh, you know, why did you notice that? Well, it's just a mannerly thing to do in all areas of life. If you're going to wear clothes, you wear them properly. So many women that go around with their clothes hanging off their shoulders, and you know, they're you know, showing their breasts virtually and all that sort of thing. And then if someone else were to do that, they'd say, "Oh, how unseemly," you know. But for themselves to do it, it's no problem at all, you know, because, well, I have the figure for that. They don't, you know, and that sort of, it's judgments and things like that. And these are, can you take a comment about that? Can you take a suggestion? Hey, are you a whore or something, you know? Are you making yourself available to men or something like that? Because you're dressing like this, you know, everybody else is dressing in a very normal fashion, and you're dressing with everything falling off. Well, what about these young kids? They go around with their pants hanging down below their butt, you know? And the pants are maybe 50 sizes too big, you know? What are they trying to say? What are they making? They're making a statement of some sort. And why are they doing that? Why are they doing that? Well, they have never learned humility. They have never learned to be appreciative of the society that they're living in. And their parents are the first ones to let them go. There will be bad boys and bad girls who will go out and do something, but it's not what everyone wants to emulate. But we have made a fetish out of these hanging low pants and stuff like that. And I was in a class, and there was a bunch of young people in it, and the teacher said, anybody in this class that I can see their underwear is out. Because their pants were hanging down, their butt and their underwear were showing, you know. And she says, I don't have to have you in this class. I don't have to look at your disrespect for yourself and your body and your clothing. If that's the way you want to act, out. If you pull up your pants and tighten up your belt and act like normal human beings, I'm delighted to have you here. But I am not interested in seeing your disrespect for your clothing, your disrespect for your body. If you're going to wear clothes, wear them. If you're not going to wear them, take them off. Now, if I told you all who are dropping your pants like that, take off your pants, you'd say, whew, what do you think I am, you know? And it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It is respect for your body, respect for yourself. It's not respect for the teacher. It's not respect for the school or for anybody else. It's respect for yourself. Because if you were doing things with respect for the teacher, then you're doing it for the totally wrong reason. You're not learning for the teacher. You're learning humility by doing these things. Humility is to like yourself. Did you ever stop to think about that? Humility is liking yourself. Humility is respecting yourself. Humility is caring. Now you see, Heinz came down to work in my house there and take care of a few things. He brought his toolbox, he brought all his tools, and he asked for a hammer, and I got him a hammer out of my drawer. And then he took that hammer and put it back in his toolbox, and or whatever he did, and it brought it back up here. Now, that's not respect for himself. Respect for himself is what he takes, he returns with. What he uses, he puts back. Anything he does, and see, this is why I find it very difficult for me to do something for any of you. If I do something for you, I'm responsible to put it back, not you. If you say, Herb, do you have a knife? Yes, here's a knife. And now, I'm responsible to put that knife back. I'm responsible, are you done with it? Are you done with it? Give me that knife now. I'm not done with it. Well, when you're done with it, give me that knife so I can put it back. What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Why are you so pushy, so picky? Well, I'm responsible. I put things back. When I borrow something, I return it. When I use something, I put it back. When I break something, I fix it. See, those are our house rules. Those are the rules by any organization. You can go into any organization and say, yes, those are our rules too. You understand that? Those are our rules. And that's humility, to follow the rules that you say you believe in, if you believe in them. So, I should have stood over Heinz and said, are you done with my hammer yet? Are you done with my hammer yet? You know, and then taken it back. But I wasn't always there, and I wasn't paying attention that way. You see, if I use something, I had a tendency to think I'll leave the drawer open and I'll put it back. No, no, you can't do that. If you open that drawer, you close it. And then you go and you get your hammer and you take it out, you close the drawer, you use it, and then you go back and put the hammer right back in the drawer right away, and then it's there when you want it. This is respect for yourself. This is humility. Humility to follow the rules. Humility to follow the rules. Humility to follow the rules. Now, very seldom do we follow the rules. I imagine, Heinz, that when someone comes to your workbench and takes something, you're aware that it's missing, and you're very upset when you're at your workbench down at your home or your property, wherever you live, and yet you don't have any qualm about borrowing something from somebody else and then putting it in the toolbox. You want to be very careful of this, not because you're stealing, not because you're doing something that is bad, essentially. It's just not following the rules. And following the rules is tremendously important. And this goes when we are speaking in our spiritual path, too. Because I said to you, if you will say these words as you walk the path every morning and as you live through the day, and as you do these things, and as you do, you're going to get so sick of those words. You're going to get so sick of those words. I am transfigured. I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. I express my original purity and integrity. I am transfigured. But have the humility to say those things, to say those things, to say those things, to say those things, until you are so sick and tired of saying those things and still go on saying those things. And then you will, like the athlete who gets his second wind, you know, you will get your second wind, and then you will go to the finish line, and then you will get the result in your life. But you will not get the result in your life if you fall short every time. It bores you, it bugs you, it irritates you. Whenever things like that irritate you, you don't deserve to be expressing your spiritual life. You don't deserve it because you have not disciplined yourself with the act of humility to accomplish the goal that you want. And that's very important. That's very important, because if you don't do it, you're out of business. You're not going to experience wholeness. You won't experience mental agility. You won't experience spiritual brilliance. You won't experience any of these things if you're not living by these rules, living by the humility that is within you, that is who you are. Now, we had at the School of the Master, oh, a dozen more people, and unfortunately, every one of them felt they were superior to the program. They felt they were superior to the program. And because they felt they were superior to the program, they did not achieve that goal that was my purpose in having it. The school was a little short. It's only 3 months. Usually it's a couple years. And sometimes it's shorter than that. Sometimes it's just a day. It depends on the absolute dedication of the individual who I'm working with. If that person is 1,000,000,000% dedicated to doing everything I suggest for them to do and having no qualms about it, not feeling that they're being put upon or something like that, just go for it. It's instantaneous. Now you say, yeah, sure, I'd like to see that happen. You'll never see it happen. Why? Because the people who have that instantaneous goal, and I work with them, the people who have that instantaneous goal, they're invisible to you. It's as though you never knew them, because they have a spiritual healing. And everything of their past is of no import. It's the nowness that they're living in. And they're great. And some of you say, well, where are those people now? What would that mean to you? What would that mean to you? Look, just take an illustration. Perhaps you are ready for that moment, and you walk into your spiritual awareness. Are you going to live in a universe of limitation? Are you going to live in a universe of things that you can't do? Are you going to live in a body that expresses any type of impurity, which is a thought, any impure thought? Are you going to have a body that's going to look like the body you have right now? Heavens no. It may be similar, but it will be so glorious, so fabulous. And so with this glorious, fabulous body, with this mind that thinks only the beauty and the love of the universe, it can be here. It can be here. And they are. There are millions, perhaps billions, of masters on the face of the earth that you see every day, and you don't know they're masters. You have not the vision to see them as masters, because a master sees another master. And you, if I may spell it out, are a human who sees another human. And you are picking on other humans. You're saying, she's nice, she's not, he's nice, he's it. And stupid, stupid. A master would never say that. Everybody is wonderful. Everybody is fantastic. Everybody is ascended. Everybody is glorious. Can you understand that? Everybody is whole and perfect. A master doesn't judge anything. And this we can only become aware of by our humility. And do you have the desire for that type of humility? If you have the desire for that type of humility, you can experience that master consciousness right now. Look at Jesus on the cross and the criminal who was a heinous criminal next to him. He deserved that by the laws of his day to be crucified. He said to Jesus, I know who you are. And Jesus said to him, today art thou with me in paradise. An instant, a criminal on a cross, a heinous criminal who had nothing but nonsense in his mind, who had nothing but anti-social attitudes in his mind, could see the Christ, could see the purity of the man Jesus expressing the Christ, the universal consciousness of all. What a glorious thing. How he must have been, the other guy didn't, how humble he must have been in his heart. How receptive he must have been. But my goodness, if he can do it, those of you who are really seeking on the path, who really want to experience your divinity, you can do it too. But it takes humility. Because for him to say, I know who you are. Wow. That's a step. But an instant step. Do you know? It didn't take him all of his life. Perhaps it did to that point. But he had just that instant recognition of the divinity. Now, I've told you all, most of you, up at Mount Shasta, there are many of these masters who are playing the role of sharers or training people around the world. And they come to Mount Shasta to have a little rejuvenation because they're trying to be too human to live and work with people and show them the way. And in the process, they lose their way a little bit. And they go back for rejuvenation. Jesus went back to the desert for 40 days and 40 nights to rejuvenate. Many people do these things. And let's not belittle them, because you are. Every time, well, why would a master ever lose his way? Because he began looking down. How many of you saw The Bishop's Wife? The Bishop's Wife is a movie. And the bishop is the bishop of a church, Anglican church in New York. And big bishop, my goodness. Wife is beautiful. And the bishop said, God, I want help in building this great cathedral. God, I want help. I want help, you know. And so God sent an angel down. And the angel came down and worked with the bishop. And the bishop didn't want to believe him at first because he said, an angel? I'm, you know, no way. And so the angel goofed. He enjoyed the bishop's wife. And he took her out and he said, the bishop really is not doing right by her. And the bishop wasn't. But she dearly loved the bishop. And the bishop really loved her, but he was tied up with his presumed responsibilities. But the angel got hung up on the wife. And he said, if I could get them to let me come back here, you know, would you consider me? And she said, what? What? I should consider anyone else other than my husband? What? You know? And the angel got a, he didn't get a slap in the face, but he got a slap in the face by that attitude. He realized she was so pure and beautiful that even though she enjoyed going ice skating with him and things, she didn't fall in love with him. She loved him, you know, as she loved her children or as she loved anyone else in the world, but not like she loved her husband. And you see, the story of the angel is fictional, of course, but it tells how masters can lose their way sometimes when they find they're dealing with utterly super people. And she was an utterly super person. And the bishop was too, but he didn't know it. You see, so when you're a master, and you are already, but you haven't put on your badge yet. When you're a master, miracles will happen for you. Miracles will happen for you, as they do. We probably should play the tape for you. It's on the internet, called Jimmy and What? Jimmy and the and Mr. Mr. Goody, Mr.
Goodness sake.
Mr. Goodness sake. Jimmy and Mr. Goodness sake. You'd understand Jimmy and Mr. that's a story that was told to us by John Charles Dainty. And he's told us many stories, but we have that on the internet. And it's a story of Mr. Goodness Sake, who was not touched, but who's a master indeed. And it's a charming story. We have to bring it out. Can you have the humility to walk your path? Can you have the humility this day to say, I can see the Christ in everyone? If you have that humility, you pass the test, and you're cooked. You're done. you're ready to be all that you are. Now, that's up to you to know when that time comes. But think about it. Read these house rules. They're not silly, but they're, if I open it, I close it. You know, Ellen opened the bread of loaf of bread, and she should have closed it. And all of you have responsibility for whatever you do, and do it. There's another loaf of bread over there lying by the toaster, which is half closed, and it too is not taken care of. Now, why do I have to notice these things and say these things? I'm not saying them because I want to be picky or mean to you. I'm just saying, hey, if you're going to open it, close it. If you're going to do these things, do it. Now, Ellen had the humility to go up and take care of it right away, and she's coming along pretty good. You're all here, so that means you're coming along pretty good. But I want you to make the last step. I love you.